wrapped around his waist as she drifted in and out of sleep. Phelan was carrying her sword.
"There is just one last matter to attend to," Cleo said before she and her sisters departed.
She placed a finger on his forehead, and he felt a tingle run through his body. She then turned and started to walk away with her sisters.
"What was that?"
Ash asked, rubbing his forehead.
"I removed the curse," Cleo said, without turning back.
Cleo and her sisters vanished into the night. Had she removed it in a moment of generosity? Had she finally gained enough magic from Ash to fully recover? Or did she believe he would need his full power as the boss of District 114? Phelan broke his thoughts by wrapping herself around his arm.
"We should probably get Naomi back to Lily's shop to sleep off her vine."
Ash nodded to Phelan.
"Hey, boss, the night's still young, and there's a band playing at the Twins in about an hour,"
Celeste said, looking at her phone. The Twins like to post information about events on their website. Everything from bands, contests, and even fights. Orcs liked their entertainment.
"Sorry, Celeste, that's not really my jam," Phelan said as she shook her head.
Ash was surprised that Celeste had suggested it. Everyone who knew Phelan knew she wasn't big on crowds. The Mink Girl was Phelan's second in command. She should know that about her boss. Celeste smirked at Phelan.
"No, but it is Luna's. How about I get a few more girls from the pack to agree to go and talk Luna into going with us? I know nights are tough for her. Hell, they offer me two after all that shit, but being in a pack should help. Also, it would let you and the big boss have some time alone,"
she said with a wink. Phelan's grip tightened on his arm, and he could feel her tail repeatedly hitting his leg. A smile bloomed on his face. He knew he was going to get laid tonight.
"Thanks, Celeste, that would be great. Just keep her out of trouble. She's a magnet for it,"
Phelan said, giving Ash a lustful gaze. Celeste grinned. Lily was waiting for them once they got back to the shop. She was already in her pajamas, the same blue bunny onesie that she had worn the first time Ash had met her. She quickly grabbed the takeout they had brought her from May's den and tore into it with gusto. She informed them that she was planning on sleeping at her shop tonight and could keep an eye on Naomi. After that, she was too occupied with shoving rolls in her mouth to say much else. Ash was unsure who would be more responsible, Lily or a drunk Naomi. He had to abandon his button-up shirt when they tried to lay Naomi down for the night, leaving him in his tank-top undershirt. The drunk salamander had clung to it like a vice. Once he got it off, she curled up around it.
"It's descent," Phelan said as they left the shop. "That's why she wouldn't let go of your shirt. It smells like you. It will probably help her sleep through the night."
Ash scratched his cheek, wondering if he should breach the topic that had been on his mind, especially since they were on their way to Phelan's place for an intimate night. Finally, he decided to roll the dice.
"You all right with, with Naomi swearing herself to me and trying to be in our lives? I've noticed some tension between the two of you."
He felt like the question he just asked was mentally the equivalent of breakdancing in a minefield. Suicide. Phelan laughed.
"I knew we would have this talk, just not so soon. You haven't even fucked Naomi yet."
Ash stared as Phelan smiled and shook her head at him. His next words were the equivalent of doing the worm. That shouldn't set off any of the landmines.
"What talk?"
"Harem politics, and why you should stay out of them. Right now, Naomi is just testing her boundaries, and what I will allow as the alpha of your harem. It's a normal and healthy thing for a new member of a harem. It lets her find the place she best benefits the harem and also tests if the Alpha is up for the task of leading. Phelan stopped and pointed her finger at Ash's chest sternly. Never get involved in harem politics. No good comes from it. If there is an issue that needs your intervention, then someone will let you know.
Ash nodded his head in agreement, and Phelan removed her stern finger.
She pushes things a little, in regard to showing you affection, but she's respectful to me and my position. I tried to explain to her how relationships form in your culture, and that may have made her nervous that she could be rejected. There are a lot of foreign concepts that she's trying to understand.
You have thought a lot about this, Ash stated.
Like I said, harems are a part of beastkin culture. My mother taught me about harem politics.
Anything I can do, or should do? He struggled to navigate one relationship. He had no idea how he was going to handle multiple. Maybe Beau had received similar advice as Phelan and could give him some tips.
Fucking her would ease her mind, but I think you're making the right decision to take it slow and build the relationship. I'm also not just saying that because I want you to myself for a little longer. She needs to understand there is more to being your mate and in our harem than just pushing out a brood.
Huh? I seem to remember you being pretty focused on that last time we were together. Kept asking me to breed you, Ash teased with a smile.
Phelan blushed and slugged him in the shoulder.
Bastard! What if someone heard you?
Ash laughed. Chapter 21. Celeste and Luna were gone by the time Ash and Phelan arrived at Phelan's place. Phelan wasted no time once she confirmed her sister wasn't home and latched onto Ash, her legs wrapped around his waist as she frantically kissed him. Ash closed the door with his foot and carried the horny wolfkin to the couch. He pinned her there and started kissing up and down her neck. Phelan squirmed in his grasp and bucked against him. She could easily break his grip if she wanted to, and probably would when she was done being the submissive one. Right now, though, she was at his mercy. Phelan ground her crotch against his jeans and let out a pitiful whimper. Her dress was inching higher up as she thrust her hips at him, and he soon saw the lace of the lingerie panties she was wearing. Ash grinned when he saw them, looped his thumb around the hip, and slid them off Phelan. He teasingly dangled them in front of her.
Were you planning to drag me into your bed tonight from the start?
Yes,
Phelan moaned, still grinding against him.
Ash shook his head as he tossed the panties onto the floor. He slid Phelan's dress up farther and spread her legs apart before burying his face between them. His tongue teased her lower lips before dancing around her clit. She tried to wrap her legs around his head, but he kept a firm grip on her thighs. Fingers ran through his hair as she moaned, holding him against her pussy. The move only made him more greedy for her. He ate at her with a fever. When that wasn't enough for him, he eased one finger and then a second into her wet sheath, pumping them in and out. Her quickening whimpers let him know she was close. He turned his hand palm up and curled his fingers. Reaching her G-spot, he moved his fingers in a come-hither motion as his mouth latched onto her clit. Her body shuddered, her orgasm clamping down repeatedly on his fingers and her hips trying to pull back from his face, as she grew too sensitive from his ministrations. He pulled back and gave her a reprieve, moving back up her body. Once Phelan caught her breath, she came at him with a fever. Their lips met. She didn't seem to mind the taste of herself on him and greedily kissed him. As she kissed him, she pushed his shoulder back, guiding him to lay back on the couch, now straddling him.
She sat up, hands on his chest, and a dazed look on her smiling face. Ash loved that he had put that smile on her face, as he waited for her to come back to herself. He ran his hands up under her dress, moving them gently up and down her sides. He could tell when she got her wits back. She started rocking against his hard cock. She took hold of his arms, encouraging him to sit up. She pulled at his undershirt. It was somehow still tucked into his slacks. He pulled his hands out from under her dress, lifting them above his head. Phelan pulled the shirt up and off of him. She couldn't help but push him back down, going with him. Phelan kissed and sucked her way down his neck, then chest, onto the happy trail ending at his slacks. She leaned up, reaching for his belt, then the buttons on his slacks, releasing it. Then she pulled down the zipper. She was surprised as his dick greeted her, having slipped through the opening of his boxers. She licked her lips and reached for the material at his hips. He helped her and lifted himself up, allowing her to pull both his pants and boxers down. As soon as his clothes were out of the way, she leaned down and took him into her mouth. Phelan gave him a few bobs up and down, wetting his dick before pulling it out with a pop and licking down the underside of his shaft. When she got to the base, she kissed her way back up, stopping to lick the sensitive seam beneath the head. His lover took him back into her mouth, still paying attention to that seam, her tongue going back and forth while her head went up and down. She gave him a long, hard suck that almost made Ash jump off the couch. It took a force of sheer will for him not to come. Phelan must have been able to tell he was close as she released his cock with another audible pop. She took no time at all to move back up his body, hovering over him. She smiled as she took his cock in her hand and slipped him into her wet hole. Sinking to the hilt, a gasp escaped her as he stretched her tight opening. When she had adjusted to his size, she started riding him, her hands on his chest for leverage, nails digging into his skin. She was looking down at him with heat in her eyes. She picked up her pace. Phelan broke their gaze at the same time her pace started to stutter. She closed her eyes and threw her head back. Ash took over. Grabbing her hips and holding her still, he began to thrust into her. Her sex was still quivering when he came inside her, her orgasm still milking his cock of all he had. As their orgasms waned, Phelan collapsed on top of him. The two of them cuddled together on the couch, breathing heavily.
"This doesn't count," she said with panted breaths. "I'm still in my dress. You have to fuck me again."
"Gladly, though I'm gonna need to rehydrate after that."
Phelan giggled as she gently raked her nails across his chest. She pushed herself up, reluctantly leaving the couch.
"My legs are still like jelly from the orgasm," she said as she stood.
"Leave the dress," Ash said.
She wasted no time removing it and headed into the kitchen. Phelan opened the door of the fridge and peered inside it. Ash rolled off the couch, tossing his pants and boxers on the floor before joining her, though he mostly did it to get a better look at her bare ass as she bent over to search the fridge. A little of his seed was leaking out of her slit and working its way down her leg. Phelan looked back and caught him looking at her. Her tail wagged and she smiled, slowly standing up to face him.
"We have orange juice?"
she said, while shaking the container. Ash filled a glass and drained it. A few minutes later, Phelan was leaning against the kitchen table as Ash plowed her from behind. He pulled on her hair with one hand and had the other on her hip, pulling her against him with every thrust. Phelan let out moans and whimpers. He was surprised she had been so submissive for the second time. They finally made it to her bedroom for round three. This time, Phelan was in charge again, and Ash had a few scratches and bite marks by the time they both came again. Exhausted and in post-sex bliss, they both dozed off, cuddled together. Ash was woken the next morning by Phelan stroking his morning wood. His sleep had been free of nightmares, and he wondered if it was due to exhaustion or if having Phelan next to him kept them away. Naomi said his scent did that for her.
"Good morning,"
Phelan greeted as she kissed him. His arm was still wrapped around her naked body, and he gave her ass a firm squeeze. It was only fair, since she was already getting handsy with him this morning.
"I know what kind of meat I want for breakfast,"
Phelan said as she stroked him up and down.
"You seem game for picking up where we left off last night."
There was a loud thud against the wall.
"I don't want to listen to my sister getting railed! It's bad enough you two left clothing scattered everywhere and the place smells of sex!"
Luna's voice echoed through the wall. Phelan turned bright red. Chapter 22. Naomi sipped the black soup Lily had given her in a small cup. The coffee, as Lily called it, was still very bitter, so she put another scoop of the white sand into it. The white sand made everything taste wonderful. The black soup seemed to have some magic in it, as it made her feel like she had more energy the more she sipped it. Lily said it would help with her throbbing head. She placed the small cup back on the table and buried her face into the shirt draped around her neck, inhaling deeply the scent. His scent. She was mad at herself for falling victim to the sweet berry drink at the restaurant. Had she kept her wits about herself, she might have created the spark Phelan told her about with Ash. The concept was still confusing, and the translation ring seemed to fail in Phelan's attempts to explain it to her. She appreciated the Alpha's help, though. Human relationships were as strange as their foods and the magic they call technology. The shop's door opened, and Lily walked in carrying a rectangular box, which she set on the counter and opened up. The dryad placed two circular breads with holes in the center in front of Naomi. These must be the donuts she had been talking about. A tiny bite filled Naomi's mouth with flavor, and she quickly devoured both of them.
"Maybe I should have gotten 2 dozen instead of one,"
Lily said as she pulled the box closer to herself. Lily was the friendliest dryad Naomi had ever met. Most would try to kill you the moment you enter their woods. Jack said they were not as aggressive here as they were on Voss due to necessity. He did concede that Lily was the most social he had ever met. She had worked hard to welcome the Lizardkins, and though they were fearful of her at first, many now held her in high esteem. With some reluctance, Lily gave Naomi 2 more of the donuts, and she tried to eat them slower than the first 2. Not an easy task with how delicious they were, much better than the bologna sandwiches she had shared with Ash.
"What is the human mating ritual?"
Naomi asked. Lily froze, mid-bite of a donut that did not have a hole in its center. She set it down and picked up another one that did.
"I'm going to skip the cream-filled ones if we're going into sex talk. So, are you talking about porn? Because it sounds like you are, unless you can give me more details."
"Phelan tried to explain it to me. Humans seek a spark with their mate. I'm trying to figure out how to create that spark for Ash."
This was the most she understood about what Phelan had told her. Much of it was about feelings, and she understood little of that. Perhaps the spark was this porn Lily talked about. Lily nodded her head and took a bite of her donut. Naomi perked up. Lily knew about the spark.
"Dating and romance, gotcha. Not porn, sadly. There's a way I can explain them to you. It's a human ritual, and we will need to recruit some help to perform it.
Naomi steeled herself and nodded.
I am willing to do whatever is needed to understand what my mate desires of me.
Whatever dark ritual the humans used to pass the knowledge along, she would endure it. Lily smiled at her acceptance of the ritual, almost as if the dryad had been waiting for a reason to perform it.
All right, I'll call some people and go grab some supplies. We will perform the ritual.
Lily grinned at Naomi.
I've always wanted to do an all-girls slumber party.
An hour later, they were at Lily's house, as those who Lily called came to join them for the ritual.
You know, slumber parties usually happen at night, right? Not 10 in the morning?
Celeste said as Lily held the ritual garment before her.
Shut up and take the onesie!
Lily replied. Celeste shrugged and took the garment that represented a flightless bird called a penguin. Naomi had looked up the adorable animal on her phone once she learned the name. She had done the same with her garment, which represented an animal called the tiger. Lily wore one that was a bunny, though Naomi had never seen a blue one before.
I don't care what time it is. As long as we have junk food and some good movies to watch, I'm happy.
Phelan's sister Luna said her garment was that of a turtle.
And it has nothing to do with the fact your place probably smells like sex this morning.
Celeste laughed. Luna scrunched up her nose.
Please don't remind me. I could have gone without knowing my sister had gotten banged on the couch and kitchen table when I got home last night. Ugh, some major disadvantages to having a heightened sense of smell.
Lily walked into the kitchen with the bag of seeds she had gotten from the store. She proceeded to pour them into a strange device on the counter.
At least you didn't have to hear her. Your sister's wailing hurt my eardrums, and I was even outside the house fighting trolls,
Lily said from the kitchen. Luna let out a sigh.
Ugh, I should just be happy Sis found a mate. Was a little worried she would grow into an old spinster.
Celeste nodded.
Yeah, it can definitely be tough for strong girls from some of the beastkin groups to find a mate. At least if they want to do it the traditional way.
Why is that?
Naomi asked.
Traditionally, at least for most predator beastkin, the guy is supposed to challenge a girl he's interested in to a duel. If she accepts and he defeats her, then they are mates. Also, traditionally, the duel is to the death for the guy if he loses. So, hence, why a powerhouse like Phelan didn't get a lot of interest from the opposite sex despite her being a knockout.
Celeste said as she opened one of the colorful beverages Lily had called soda.
Yeah, Mom and Dad would probably be pissed that Phelan broke with tradition if they were here. I know she and Ash didn't do a mating duel.
Celeste laughed.
Shit! After seeing what he did to those trolls, I think even the most traditionalist beastkin girl would just roll over and spread her legs if he challenged her to a duel.
Naomi frowned. She did not know Ash and Phelan's mating would be controversial for Phelan's parents. Her mother would have been proud of her to acquire such a powerful mate, even if he wasn't a salamander. The beastkin ways were strange.
Would that be a problem if your parents came to this world?
Naomi just asked the question when a series of loud pops echoed from the kitchen and made her jump. She was worried someone was hurling spells at Lily and was about to rush in there to help protect her friend.
Relax, it's just the popcorn,
Luna said, gesturing for her to sit down.
As for being a problem, no. Phelan is stubborn and independent. Our folks might bitch, but she'll just ignore them and live her life like she wants to. Don't know about Ash, though. I don't think he'll care much. Last night, Councilwoman Cleo said something that made me think Ash clashes a lot with his mom.
Celeste said as she sipped her green-colored soda.
Ha! Like a perpetual war!
Lily said as she returned from the kitchen with a bowl of what Naomi assumed was popcorn. It had an inviting smell.
Oh, do you know the details? Gossip is an important part of slumber parties, after all.
Luna leaned forward eagerly, her ears perked. Lily took a seat in a nearby chair after setting the large bowl of popcorn on the coffee table. Celeste grabbed a handful of the stuff and popped it into her mouth.
Not from Ash, she doesn't talk about her much. Beau has told me a lot, though,
Lily said.
Beau was concerned about Ash's face being scarred. He was worried about his mother's response,
Naomi said, recalling when she had first met the orc.
Oh, Beau is terrified of her. He once told me he would rather fight a dozen dragons with a spoon while in his underwear than be in a room with that woman for 5 minutes,
Lily said.
She probably would throw a fit about the scar.
She had wanted Ash to be her heir, but he fought her every step of the way, and now that he's in Davos, any hope of that is squashed.
Silence filled the room as all of them stared at the smiling dryad. She had just thrown out bait that had all of their attention. As one, they all asked the same question.
Heir?
Lily's smile grew bigger.
His mother's name is Vivian Grayson. Look her up.
Naomi saw Luna and Celeste pull out their phones and start typing. Quickly, she did the same. The search brought up several results about her. Vivian Grayson, the Empress of Business, fails in the challenge of international mage laws. Vivian Grayson, the Empress of Business, third hostile takeover of a rival company in as many months. Can monopoly laws keep her conquests in check? Vivian Grayson, the Empress of Business, newest book on business debuts, take heads, not prisoners. Celeste let out a whistle.
Damn, Naomi, looks like you and Phelan snagged a rogue prince as a mate.
Holy shit. Does Sis know?
Luna gasped. Lily shook her head.
Doubt it. Ash's mother is a very sore subject for him. Probably best to not try and bring her up around him.
The doorbell chimed. The noise still startled Naomi, but she had learned it was just announcing someone at the door. Human technology was usually noisy.
That has to be Jacqueline with the ice cream!
Lily shot out of her chair for the door. With how quickly the dryad had moved, Naomi knew that this ice cream must be something good. Apparently, the ice cream was the last component of the ritual called a slumber party. Naomi sat before what the girls referred to as the TV with a bowl of mushy, cold stuff, as did the other girls. There was some debate as to which movie to start with, but soon they had decided, and the TV came alive with color. It reminded Naomi of a larger version of her phone, and they were watching the lives of two humans on it. The two humans were rivals, forced to work together. As they were forced to spend time with one another, they soon learned about each other, and their hostility started to fade. Eventually, they agreed to go on something called a date with one another. Naomi's heart raced as the two humans bonded over activities together. Then, near the end of the date, the spark happened. Naomi let out a gasp when she realized it was happening. The two humans embraced each other, and the movie suggested they had mated. There was more that came after, such as another rival male, but Naomi was not interested in that. The first human should have just slain the rival male and been done with him. The important part was the spark. They played several more of the movies, and they were all about different humans obtaining their mates in different ways. The girls all had their preferences, such as Luna sighing dreamily at the human with a leather jacket and a metal mount called a motorcycle. Celeste was interested in the humans that could fight. She had picked a movie where the male human was an assassin, and the female was supposed to be his target, but they became mates instead. Lily cheered during the film she picked, which involved humans called firefighters trying to save a forest from burning. Every movie had a different scenario, but the constant in each one was there was always a date and a spark. The spark seemed to make the humans stronger mates for each other. Naomi had just wanted the spark for Ash, since Phelan said it was needed for her to fully become his mate. Now, she had more of an understanding of the spark. It was still a hard concept to fully grasp for her, but she knew she wanted it for herself now. Luna and Lily were quietly laughing as they drew crude symbols and designs on the face of a sleeping Celeste. Something that was supposed to be done to the first girl who fell asleep during the sleepover ritual, or so she was told by Lily, with nods of agreement from Luna. Jacqueline was finishing off the popcorn and watching the two of them instead of the movie.
"Did you and Bo have the spark?"
Naomi asked her. Jacqueline almost choked on the popcorn and turned red.
"Yes,"
she said shyly.
"How did it happen?"
Naomi had a guess, but she wanted to verify. "Well, Bo kinda rescued me from some guys that wanted revenge on me for running with a bad crowd. I was pretty distraught and didn't want to be alone, so he took me to the twins and we did karaoke." Jacqueline smiled and laughed. "He's a horrible singer, but he's also a nice guy. That night of karaoke was the start of what I guess you could call the spark."
"The start?" Naomi asked.
"Yeah, we went on a few more dates after that, sometimes going to the twins for a meal or coffee at his place. Once he even cooked for me, though that caused a small fire. One morning, I just couldn't get the big lug, as Ash calls him, out of my mind and decided to take him as my mate. Tradition be damned." Naomi smiled and nodded her head at Jacqueline. The answer to the spark was dating after all. She needed to go on one with Ash, a good one. The movies gave her several ideas of potential dates.
Chapter 23. Ash watched the sunrise over District 114. He knew the view from the office would be spectacular. His office. The thought still left a bitter taste of defeat in his mouth. He had sworn he would never have one, that he would pursue a career where he wouldn't be in his mother's shadow. He could already picture her smirk when she learned all those years of rebellion amounted to nothing. Ash lifted his phone and took a picture of the sunrise. He would send it to Cleo, closer to the time he knew she got up. He closed his eyes and took a sip of his morning coffee. He still couldn't believe Cleo was giving him this place. She had sent the text shortly after Luna had left to go to Lily's slumber party. Cleo.
"If we were in Voss, I would have given you a castle that would fit your status as my vassal. Unfortunately, this is the best I can do. The address is below. One of my sisters will be there waiting to turn the key over to you."
Curious, he and Phelan hopped in the shower, had shower sex, then cleaned up and went straight there from Phelan's house. The building was familiar to Ash. It was the tallest building on the street by Lily's shop. Cleo must have gotten Lily to give it to her. The 5-story-tall flatiron building rested at the end of the street and had once served as a high-end hotel back when the town that became District 114 survived on tourism. A woman with red eyes greeted them when they entered and immediately handed Ash the keys. She then gave a rather quick tour and some recommendations from Cleo that drove home this place would serve as more than just a home, such as converting the first 2 floors to barracks for both the 114 pack and the frozen scales. The Flatiron might not be a castle, but Cleo intended for him to use it as one. The entire top floor had been the penthouse and included a rather large master bedroom, bathroom with a massive tub, well-stocked kitchen, living room, and an office located at the point of the Flatiron. The office desk had a folder with a flash drive on top of it. Their Banshee tour guide quickly pointed it out to him and stated it contained financial information on District 114 and its businesses, as well as a budget. There had been pillow talk between Ash and Phelan about some of his responsibilities as the district boss. He would be expected to maintain some order in the district and help it grow economically. While she bashed herself pretty hard on maintaining order, Phelan was pretty proud of helping raise funds to build the fish farms that employed and fed a lot of people in the district. She said such projects would be easier for him since he had financial backing as a vassal. With another sip of his coffee, his thoughts went to Phelan, still curled up in the master bedroom fast asleep. The temptation to go back to bed and cuddle his wolfkin lover was strong. Instead, he dove into the information Cleo had left for him. He was starting to get a good picture of District 114's financial state by the time Phelan joined him. She was wearing his t-shirt from yesterday, and not much else. Something he had learned about Beastkin was they liked to wear their lover's scent. Salamanders were probably the same, given how Naomi slept with one of his old shirts as if it was a teddy bear. Without a word, she crawled into his lap and took a sip of his coffee, her bare ass resting in his lap. Her nose scrunched up as she set the mug back onto the desk.
I don't see how you can drink it, Black.
Ash smiled at her and took a sip from the mug. It's an acquired taste. The more you drink it, the more you get used to it. Eventually, it becomes your preferred way to have it.
I'll stick to my sugar and cream, thanks.
Oh, wow, is that the budget Cleo gave you for the district?
Phelan asked as she looked at the spreadsheet on his laptop. It is. I already plan to use it to expand Lily's greenhouse and the fish farms, both of which are the top earners for the district. I also want to create a few startups to try and diversify the economy, not place everything on magic plants and fish. Phelan gave a nod of agreement.
Cleo should be able to negotiate some trade deals with the human governments for what we produce. One of the big perks of being a vassal,
Phelan stated. Ash knew exporting magic goods was the moneymaker, but he also wanted to strengthen internal revenue within Davos. Call him paranoid, but he had already been screwed over once by a human government. He had some rough ideas, but would need help smoothing them out. Unfortunately, the best person to help him was his mother. With a lot of bluster, he sent her an email detailing his ideas and information about the district. Hopefully, she would do more helping than gloating once she got back to him. Phelan leaned her head against his neck, and he felt her nip his ear. She had a playful smile on her face when he looked at her.
Well, we broke in the master bedroom last night. Should we break in the office this morning?
Phelan said as she ground her ass against his lap. Ash liked that idea, but unfortunately that was when his phone started ringing. The caller ID said Beau, and it was way too early for him to be up normally. Not unless Jacqueline was doing a major overhaul of his life. Phelan pouted as he picked up the phone and answered it.
Hey, Beau, what's up?
Ash shook his head and let out a laugh at what Beau said.
Keep Lily from tearing the door off its hinges while we get dressed, and we'll be right down.
Ash hung up the phone and looked at Phelan. His hand grabbed her ass and squeezed while he let out a growl. Phelan must have liked that from the heat in her eyes.
Sorry, going to have to take a rain check on the office sex. We've got company downstairs,
Ash said to a pouting Phelan. A few minutes later, An exhausted-looking Beau stood by the coffee pot in the kitchen of the penthouse, while Phelan gave the girls a tour of the Flatiron. The entire slumber party had come to look at the place, and Jacqueline had roped Beau into coming.
Nice place,
Beau said with a yawn as he held his cup of coffee. Late night? Ash asked. He thought about making a joke about how Beau didn't sleep well because Jacqueline was crashing at Lily's for the slumber party, but that was hypocritical. He was dreading a night without Phelan beside him. When the nightmares of Saro and his trolls hit, it was only by seeing Phelan sleeping safely next to him that he could fall asleep again.
I tried to catch up on some horror movies with Jacqueline out of the apartment for the night. Stayed up late and only got maybe 2 hours before she called and we paid you a homewarming visit.
She not a fan of them? Ash asked.
I am a fan of the good ones, not the trashy ones I know Beau was binge-watching while I was gone, Jacqueline said as she broke away from the girls to join them.
They are good. Attack of the Robo Barista and its sequels should be considered cinema classics,
Beau said, defending his taste in movies. Jacqueline rolled her eyes.
It's nothing but boobs and gore, not even scary.
What movie are we talking about?
Lily asked. Apparently the tour was over, and Jacqueline was just the first to break away. Now all the girls were gathering around the coffee pot in the kitchen.
Attack of the Robo Barista,
Jacqueline said with an eye roll.
Oh, that movie is so good! Like when the barista reveals that her tits are really Gatling guns that fired poison coffee beans. Also had the best one-liner. You should have ordered the decaf.
Lily laughed. Beau pointed to Lily, as if the opinion of the crazy dryad was a valid argument for the quality of the movie. Jacqueline's sigh and head shake said it was not.
You've got this?
Ash heard someone say softly. Turning towards the voice, he saw a nervous Naomi approaching him, with Luna and Celeste backing her up. Naomi was blushing and fidgeting with her hands. She was looking at the ground and only gave darting glances at him.
Ash.
Everything all right, Naomi? He asked. Naomi nodded.
I was wondering. Would you take me on a date tomorrow?
Ash smiled. This was exactly what he wanted from Naomi. Dating would let them take things slow and get to know each other. He wondered if the idea was planted at the slumber party. Maybe that was Lily's idea all along. I would love to, Naomi. Naomi let out a happy squeal and jumped up and down. Celeste and Luna both looked embarrassed for the salamander girl at her sudden outburst of excitement, but congratulated her.
Phelan, would you help me learn how to do makeup?
Naomi asked as soon as she calmed down. Phelan gave Naomi a big smile.
Of course, though I don't know much about makeup with scales. My YouTube channel gets shoutouts from a dragon that does makeup tutorials. We can watch a few of her videos and get some ideas.
Celeste's brows furrowed.
Wait! You have a YouTube channel, boss?
Phelan gave her second-in-command a sheepish smile.
Yeah, I used to keep it a secret. I made videos about magic theory under the name of Ember, and even have a few hundred followers.
Celeste's eyes widen.
Wait, you don't mean the redhead Ember? The Ember's Study of Magic YouTube channel?
Phelan blushed.
Yeah, that's me. Kind of surprised you know about the channel.
Celeste smiled.
Every beastkin that I know who can use some magic learned it from that channel. There is a trio of Otakin sisters at one of the fish farms that use water magic for their job and are basically her fangirls. Well, your fangirls, boss. Damn, that means you also have two affinities for magic. That's badass, boss. You care if I let the rest of the gang know about the channel and that you Ember?
Phelan was bright red and grinning. Ash knew she had made her Ember persona in hopes of teaching magic to more beastkin. He was happy that she knew she had achieved that goal.
Sure, my identity as Ember is going to be less of a secret, at least to those that I know. It's probably a good idea, as Ash will start to appear in some of her videos soon.
A blushing Phelan looked at Ash, and he knew she was going to use him to escape the attention.
Ash, do you care if Naomi and I borrow your laptop for a bit?
Sure, it's still in the office.
Phelan grabbed Naomi's hand, and the two of them hurried off to the office. Naomi giggled excitedly, and already talking about the date, asking Phelan what she and Ash had done for their date together. He would need to take Phelan on another one soon.
Hey, Bo, can I ask a big favor of you?
Ash asked as he turned to the orc refilling his coffee mug. Bo smiled and gave a nod at him.
Of course, what do you need?
Ash smirked and raised an eyebrow.
No quip, like saying you'll let me borrow your book of 101 pickup lines or something, just agree to help me like a normal person.
Bo gestured to him with his coffee mug.
You have two girls, I have one. I need to borrow your book of pickup lines. Also, I don't have enough sleep or caffeine for me to be witty yet. Give me an hour.
Ash laughed, especially when Jacqueline smacked Bo on the shoulder for his comment about borrowing his fictional book of pickup lines. You are the only person I know with some military knowledge. Would you be up for helping the 114 pack and the Frozen Scales convert the first two floors of this building into barracks? Also, anything else you think we would need for defense? Cleo gave me a decent budget just to make the Flatiron defensible, so don't worry about cost too much, and I'm also gonna pay you for doing this. Bo had a big grin on his face. Not the usual dumbass smirk Ash had gotten used to seeing on the orc's face. This was a grin Bo only had when he'd first arrived in this world. A mixture of confidence and savagery.
Oh, I can make this place defensible.
Ash nodded and looked at Celeste. Celeste, do you care to get a hold of Jack and the two of you go help Bo? Celeste pulled out her phone and started typing a text.
You got it, big boss. Getting a hold of Jack's scaly ass right now.
Ash!
Phelan's voice called out from the office. Phelan had brought up her friend's channel, Those Beautiful Scales, and Naomi was browsing through the many videos Coral, the pink-haired dragon, had posted. Dragons in their humanoid form were identical to salamanders, except for the two horns on top of their head and wings. They were cousin species, after all. So Coral's makeup tutorials would work well for Naomi. Naomi selected one with the title, Steal Your Date's Heart with Your Eyes, which was about how to contour, though Phelan was sure Naomi picked it since it referred to dates. When Naomi was about to hit play, an incoming video call alert popped up on the screen, making her accidentally hit accept instead. The video call opened and showed an imperious-looking woman with salt-and-pepper black hair and wearing business attire. She scowled at the two of them.
Matriarch Grayson,
Naomi said as she bowed her head. Phelan stared at her in confusion. How did Naomi know this woman? Then she realized what Naomi had said. Matriarch Grayson. Ash's full name was Asher Grayson.
Who are you and where is my son? Matriarch Grayson demanded.
Ash!
Phelan called out. She could hear the fear in her voice, and she saw a small smirk formed on Matriarch Grayson's face. Ash had heard the fear, too, as he came in quickly with a concerned look on his face.
Everything okay, Phelan?
He asked as he placed a hand on her back.
Ah, there is my son, Matriarch Grayson said.
Taking a look at him, she scowled and asked,
What happened to your face?
Ash let out a sigh and looked at the laptop with a forced smile.
Hey, Mom, I didn't expect a video call. Figured you would respond with a text or email. Face? His mother demanded. I pushed myself too far with magic and it backlashed. Lesson learned. His mother grumbled, but didn't press any more on the subject. Phelan and Naomi both stood and turned to leave, so Ash could have privacy. Judging from how Naomi looked, she was just as uneasy as Phelan was about meeting his mother. Now, girls, don't leave. I believe I asked who you were. I expect an introduction and an explanation of your relationship with my son. Let's start with the young woman who referred to me as Matriarch Grayson. Naomi gulped, and Ash frowned. Mother. His mother steepled her fingers and smiled at Ash, though her eyes were hard and brokered no argument. We will get to the business side of things in a moment, son. I just want to meet your friends. She said the last word with a smirk. Now, young woman, talk. Naomi bowed at the screen again. She looked terrified.
Yes, Matriarch Grayson. My name is Naomi. I am your son's sworn sword and leader of the Frozen Scales, one of the gangs loyal to him. I swore myself to him after he saved my life and avenged the deaths of my family. We also have started dating.
Phelan heard Ash's hand smack his forehead. On the screen, Matriarch Grayson blinked twice before opening a drawer on her desk and pulling out a bottle of whiskey and a crystal glass. All right, then. Phelan, was it? Your turn. Phelan bowed her head towards the screen, mimicking what Naomi had done. She had laid all the cards on the table already, so no point in hiding things.
I am Ash's girlfriend. I'm also the leader of the 114 Pack, another gang that is loyal to your son.
Matriarch Grayson filled up the glass with whiskey, held it up, and examined it before setting it down on her desk.
Phelan, Naomi, why does my son have two gangs loyal to him? Also, why did he send me an email containing financial information about a district in Davos, along with ideas on how to expand that economy that he wishes my help with?
They said it both at the same time.
He is the district boss.
Matriarch Grayson let out a laugh before slinging back the whiskey. Then she picked up the bottle and looked it over.
I've held on to this bottle of bourbon for years. I had planned to share it with you once you finally ended your rebellion and took your place in the family company. I knew that your deportation, or exile, as you call it, to Davos would be the end of that dream. I never expected this, though.
Ash frowned as he put his arms around Phelan and Naomi, pulling them close to him.
Well, sorry I'm a disappointment. Oh! You are no disappointment. Honestly, I am disappointed in myself that I underestimated you. A few of my companies do business with Davos, so I understand what your girls mean when they say, you are the district boss.
Matriarch Grayson trained her eyes on Ash.
I hoped this was the case when I looked over your email. Not even a year there, and you have carved out a place of power. I'm not disappointed in you, son. I am proud of you. You can expect this bottle of bourbon in the mail soon. Now, shall we go over your ideas for your district? You can expect the full support of Grayson Industries.
Chapter 24. Ash rolled out of his bed. He had slept like hell last night. He missed Phelan being by him, especially when he had nightmares. Any other day, he would roll back over and doze off.
It's not like he had to go to work. Lily had fired him from his delivery job yesterday for moonlighting for Cleo, which was the cheeky dryad's way of freeing him up to do his job as the district boss, especially when his severance package included making him a partner in her business. He staggered out of his bedroom, ambled to the kitchen to start the coffee pot, and began working on a high-protein breakfast. He was going to need it today. Ash took his breakfast and coffee to his office, watching the sunrise over District 114. People started moving around on the street below. Even the locals had begun calling it Lily Street, much to her delight. He thought about commissioning a sign, but he was sure the dryad would steal it. He watched the kebab seller set up his stall and a family of beastkin become his first customers. The mother was holding a small child in her arms. The little one could have been from Voss and the family a more recent arrival. Most likely, the child was born here. The little kid's whole world was District 114. The district didn't even have a playground, let alone a school. Ash looked at the notepad on the desk that had a list he and his mother had worked on yesterday. Three columns represented the goals of the district: immediate, short-term, and long-term. Taking a pen, he wrote down temporary school under immediate, playground under short-term, and actual school in the long-term. He would need to see how other districts were tackling the school issue, or even if they were at all. Once the sun was up enough that it was no longer the crack of dawn, he sent good morning texts to Phelan and Naomi. Ash had given Naomi a room in the Flatiron, just as he had with Phelan. Still, neither of them stayed there last night. Phelan stayed at her apartment because Luna was still having a rough time at night. Naomi stayed over so that Phelan could help her get ready for today. He was supposed to swing by Phelan's apartment in 2 hours to pick Naomi up for their date. Beau had wasted no time in building the barracks and fortifying the Flatiron. The building went from empty to bustling once he got to the second floor. Lizardkins and beastkins were moving around, bricking in windows or converting what was once hotel rooms into barracks or armories. Beau was on the first floor, overseeing everything. The orc shot him a big smile when he saw him.
"Morning, Ash. Hold on a second, I got you something,"
Beau said before disappearing into a room. Moments later, he came back with a bouquet and handed them to Ash. "Flowers?" Ash said with a confused look.
"Jacqueline was watching Naomi closely at the slumber party and said her eyes would light up when the guy gave the girl flowers in the movie. There's no florist in District 114, and only someone with a death wish would try to steal flowers from Lily's flower beds, but I know someone that grows roses. Called in a favor for a small bouquet."
"Thanks, Bo," Ash smiled at his best friend.
"Don't mention it. Now get out of here before you're late for your date with the woman who wields a giant magical sword and I get blamed for it."
Ash looked at the dozen blue roses tied together with a violet ribbon. He wondered how well a florist would do in this district. Maybe a side business Lily would like to boost? He shook his head. His focus needed to be on Naomi right now. Ash knocked once, and the door swung open. Naomi stood there smiling. She wore jeans and her blue fur-lined jacket over a black Blind Love t-shirt that depicted a gorgon wearing a blindfold. The shirt clung tightly to her and showed off her well-endowed chest. Her hair wasn't its usual wild mess, but pulled back into a ponytail, showing off her pointed and scale-tipped ears. Her makeup drew his eyes to hers, and the scales that ran up her neck and face seemed to sparkle. Ash was stunned by her.
"Are those for me?"
Naomi gasped when she saw the blue roses. Ash smiled. He owed Beau. "Of course. Naomi took the flowers and blushed.
Phelan, do you have something to put these in?
Naomi asked into the house.
Sure, I'll get a vase set up with them. You two have a good date?
Phelan said as she took the flowers, giving Ash a wink as she did. No kiss today. Today was Naomi.